It's always good to be here in the home church, behind this pulpit preaching. The Lord's taught me over the last, 8.5 years or 9 years of preaching here, I've learned a lot behind this pulpit, I can guarantee you that. And I thank God for it, being trained here and then being set out to preach behind other men's pulpits. And there's nothing like it. That's probably one of my most favorite things to do besides sitting down one-on-one with what I call my friends, and I'm referring to inmates. I hate that word inmate. I call my friends because Jesus loves them and he wants to call them his friend. Yep. Okay, and I don't like the word inmates, derogatory. I'm no better than them. I'm just born again today. And Jesus wants them to be saved. And so we appreciate the prayers. Last week we were out in Rochester. It was a good meeting. It was a learning experience behind the man's pulpit because he's now preaching in Spanish. So sometimes you get worked up and you got to stop. And he's got to interpret it. And so learning that was a new experience. Well, that's probably my second time. I think I'd done it at Pastor Jose's church. And so learning those type of things when you travel around to do those type of things. And it was a blessing to be there with them. Pray for April 16th, Lord willing. That will be the next men's fellowship. Pastor Hector from Calvary Bible Baptist Church in Rochester will be the speaker then. And hopefully we don't get snow and everything else. They came here last Friday or whatever, and they got held up pretty good by that snowstorm. And so just pray that the Lord have his way in that. Thank you for praying for Liberty Behind Bars. This is probably already our busiest year to be out there traveling. This is probably, we haven't even really started anything, but it looks like we'll be on the road quite a bit, and I'm pleased for that. We just had another church take us on for support, which is a huge blessing, and then we had another church up their support from 100 a month to 200 a month. So that's a huge blessing for that kind of stuff going on. So just keep praying because God's in control of Liberty Behind Bars. And when I finally took that back seat and let God take the reins, things started working better, Tanya. By the way, I wanted to say hi to you today because I didn't get a chance to say hi to you today. I was sitting over there thinking. I said, I didn't get a chance to say hi to Tanya. You know, it was a time when me and Tanya hated each other's guts. Just, you know, we were so much alike and all that, we just couldn't stand each other. But that's what salvation does, right, sister? It changes that. And I thank God for it. And so today I'm going to do a little bit of treaching. A Holman guy told me that one. He said he got up there, he was preaching over in, I can't think of Brothers Church. Where did we meet him out there in Buffalo, hon?
Don't Ask
Church. Thank you, Pastor. Don't Ask Church, we were there, and he got up there and goes, yeah, today I'm going to get up here and do some treaching. He goes, you know, I'm from Alabama, we always preach. He goes, but I'm going to do some treaching. I go, what is treaching? He said, that's when you teach and preach. So I said, I love that, so I always use it, but teaching is different for me. I've learned how to teach. I always like to be a preacher, but I did learn how to teach when I sat with those men. I had to teach. And though it does bust out into some preaching, and I like to preach so the guards can hear us, right? I want them to be involved in the whole thing that's going on there. So I'm going to preach today. We hear Pastor always talk about the faith of. Okay? There's many lessons in your Bible, and there's many things you can learn about that word faith. There's many lessons that people teach on the word faith. But I want to get into with the faith of. And so the faith of is in your Bible 16 times. Two times it speaks of the faith of Abraham, which is God's promises of the coming of the saving faith of Jesus Christ. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Abraham was looking forward to the coming of the saving of faith of Jesus Christ, okay? He's looking forward to that. So we see the faith of Abraham is twice in your Bible. And then we see one time it's in the faith of the gospel, which is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done and what Jesus gives saving faith to those who repent and believe. One time it talks about the faith of some who were believers that already had the saving faith of Jesus Christ given to them, but because of false teachings, they have fallen away. And then we see in Revelation the faith of the saints. And then we come to the one we want to concentrate on. 11 times it talks about the saving faith of Jesus or of God. And so my question is, does God give saving faith? Or is it our faith that saves us? Many people today believe it's their faith that saves them, and that is wrong. It is not what your Bible teaches. And so I want to get in there. I want to build on this a little bit. Pastor always tells us about the saving faith of Jesus Christ, and he teaches well on that. I don't have any complaints. I just want to go a little deeper on it. That's what the Lord would have me to teach here. I really thought this message was for another church. And a funny thing happened to me when I was praying over the message. The Lord said, that church isn't ready preaching at Black Creek. You see, learning where things can be preached as such is another thing a man has to learn how to decipher. Sometimes churches aren't ready for what something has to be said. It would blow them out. It would tear them up. They wouldn't be able to handle some of the things that have to be said. So it's got to be slow. Black Creek, 1 o'clock, it can be handled here. Okay? And that's what God would have you do here. So well, here we're going to do this. Romans 12. Go to Romans 12. We'll build a little bit, and then we'll get into it. I have a lot of places to turn to. If you're not quick in the Bible, you could just listen or write them down and go ahead and check them yourself. Later on, I always suggest that you go behind me or with me and check and see if these verses are right. See if they're real. See if I'm preaching, whether it's the truth or whether it's just something I've made of myself. Because out there today, when we're trying to run, you'll see that the Bible says that the Bible is not our own private interpretation, but many people are doing that. They're interpreting the way they think. And I'm just telling you, man, it's destroying their lives and they don't even see it. Because why don't they see it? Because they read the King James Bible, they study it, and they believe they're okay. But let me just tell you something. Something that looks good doesn't always mean it is.
Yeah.
Okay? Just telling you, man. And people are destroying their lives when they're taking the interpreting the Bible on their own. God gives us the interpretation. Look at Romans chapter 12. And hear what it says in verse 3. It says, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So that right there, we're talking about the gifts. But what I'm not worried about what the gifts are. What I wanted to show you is that God does give faith. God gave a measure of faith to this person to have that gift. Okay? So it's not something that we have to drum up inside of us when it comes to saving faith. It's something that God does give. Let me show you again. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. And it says this, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether a prophecy or let it be a prophecy according to the what? Proportion of faith. So we see that God does give faith. He gives faith whether it be of gifts. He gives faith when it comes to saving faith. But I want you to see by those two verses that God does hand out faith. Because all we ever hear in churches today is your faith does everything. Your faith can't do anything unless you're a born again person. And I'm going to show you that in the Bible. I'm going to show you that that's going to change from the faith of to faith in. People who are saved have faith in Jesus Christ because they have the faith of Jesus. They have the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so we'll get into that and we'll build this a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says this. We have in the same small as spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore have spoken. The lowercase s, spirit of faith, is the spirit of faith in Jesus Christ. It is that saving faith given to those who believe. So where does that saving faith come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. It says that we have that same small s spirit. When you're reading in your New Testament, you will see that the small s, faith, small s spirit is also talking about Jesus Christ. We have a small s spirit. Jesus Christ has a small s spirit. Why? Because he's here on earth. He's here as a man. Okay? And so when you're reading that, you're going to see that he has given us that spirit of faith. Okay? He's given that to us. It's a gift that he's given. Okay? I'm just building up on this. It's going to get there. It's going to make sense here in a minute. Okay? It's the spirit of faith that is Jesus Christ. It is his and that is in us. Verse 14 describes what is that spirit of faith? Look at verse 14 here. Look at here what it says. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Nope, that's not it. I got to get back to 4:13. Wait, 4:13? Yes, and I'm looking for 4:14. My page turned. I knew I was going to read something wrong here. But here, look what it says. Knowing that which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. What is that spirit of faith? What is that spirit of faith given? That we know that we are not, if you're a saved person, that you're not going to stay, you're not going to go to hell. You're going to be raised up. After you die, Jesus Christ tells you, look, you're not going to hell. You've been saved. You're born again. You have my faith inside of you. So we have that same faith that's put inside of us. When Jesus Christ went to pay that price in hell, did he say he was going to stay there, or did he know that he was not going to stay there? That's the same faith that's put inside of us. That same faith, that confidence that Jesus Christ saves a lost sinner. And when he saves that sinner, we have that confidence because of his faith in us. Amen. That we are not going to go to hell. That's the faith that's putting us out of it. Because let me just tell you something, my friend. We don't have enough faith to drum up to think that we're going to keep ourselves out of hell. We don't have that faith. But look at all the people who lose faith in everything. Okay? They all lose faith in that. The one thing a born-again person does not ever lose faith in is their assurance in Jesus Christ. Look at your faith breeds doubt. Jesus Christ's faith is the assurance. Your faith will always breed doubt. But Jesus Christ, his faith, never gives you doubt. It gives you assurance in your salvation. It's not something that we can drum up as a human being. It's something that God freely gives. Okay? And we already seen that God gives this. We already seen that that's inside of us. 2 Timothy 3:15. Look what it says here in 2 Timothy 3:15. I want you to pay attention to the last of this verse, but some of this pertains to some of you. 3:15, it says this, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation. Through what? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That saving faith, where is that saving faith? Where did that verse just say that saving faith was? In Christ Jesus. Why? Because it says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That's what 1 Peter 1, chapter 21 and 23, says that we're born again by what? Not corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, who is the word of God? Well, you read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, it tells you the word, capital W, talking about somebody, Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says that Jesus was the word made flesh and dwelt among us. Full of grace and truth. We're born again from the word of God. He indwells inside of us, that seed that's planted. There's corruptible seeds out there. There's those other Bibles out there that are trying to tell people that they're really saved. But then if you can be saved by a corrupt thing, then we must have a corrupt God. You can't put a wicked seed in the ground and bring forth something good. That's just reality. Remember, the devil came to deceive. Mm-hmm. He came to lie. And he also came to be like the Most High. That means he's going to imitate everything that Jesus does. That includes Bible. That includes music. Church houses. That's why Paul warns us. If another come, preach another Jesus. What's he mean, another Jesus? The devil wants to be called Jesus, and he's making people do it with that nonsense. Mm-hmm. Another Jesus with another spirit and another gospel, it says. And those people walk around lost. And look what it says here now. He gives us that same faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We all know it. There's a lot of truth in it, though. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. And this is where we start getting off. We see that God gives saving faith. We see that he gives faith. And we're going to look here where it says, for by grace... You see that? By grace. For by grace. You're going to see that the word grace and faith of always go hand in hand. Because it's always God's grace. It's never a grace of ourselves. It's always God's grace that we have the saving faith. That it gives that saving faith. Look at it here where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. What's not of ourselves? It's not our faith. It's the saving faith given of Jesus Christ. It says it is the gift of God. What's the gift of God? The saving faith. Why? Because God's grace looked down upon me and he said, that man right there is going to get saved. It's his grace to seek me out. Look at man. Look at God said this. Jesus Christ said this. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. If God hated us so much, then why is he seeking us? Come on. If God didn't want somebody in this place being saved, then why is he seeking us? That's right. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Anyway, look at, because you know why? He's got a gift. He's got a gift, and it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice the word grace and faith how they are used in Romans 12, how they're used in 2 Corinthians, and how they are used in Ephesians, where God's grace and the faith of are mentioned in the same verse. It's by God's grace are you saved. Through faith. Your faith? If it's your faith that saves you, didn't you have a works faith? It was not done by Jesus Christ. He gives saving faith to those who believe. And let's go on here. And look what it says. It says, we read in Ephesians, by God's grace are you saved through faith. It did not say by my faith or our faith. Then where did that faith come from? Ask yourself, where did that faith come? What faith was Abraham looking towards? What was he looking for? What faith was he looking forward to? Okay, look at here. Because saving faith is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Titus 2:11 and Titus 3:7, it says that by God's grace we're saved and justified. Okay? Understand, God has grace. He's got so much grace, it said that it reaches to the heavens. He's got enough for everybody in this room. He's got enough for everybody on this entire planet plus. For by God's grace are you saved through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Psalm 3:8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The capital L-O-R-D in your King James Bible in the Old Testament is talking about Jehovah God, the Creator. And we know that the Creator is Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16 to 17 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. That means Jesus Christ has the right to give saving faith to who he will. You know who he wants to give that to? Everybody. That's his will. What's 2 Peter 3:9? God is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. John 3:16 tells us that he died. He loved the world so much that he died. Because that's what he wants to give. It's his grace. It's his salvation. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It's Jesus Christ to give to whoever he will. Who is it that he wants to give it to? Everybody. It's not a person that was born, that's living today or will be born, that he doesn't want to give that to. We're building here. Look at Romans 3:22. Now we're going to get into it. Romans 3:22. Looking at the saving faith of Jesus Christ. God gives faith. It's a gift that he gives. It's a grace that he does it. Because he doesn't have to give that. God doesn't have to save a single person. He don't have to save, but he does. That's what he does. You know, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, God's purpose is to draw man to himself to save him. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. You know, we're singing Beulah Land, and just, you know, you look around, right? You just look around and see, and you look at people's face and say, man, I'm glad I'm not that person. I'm glad I'm not that person who can't sing that they're in Beulah Land and shout out. Because they have nothing to shout out for. They're living a life of absolute hell and they think they know better. And you know what? Beulah Land's waiting for them. Beulah Land's waiting for them. But you know what? They don't so want it. It's a farce. This whole thing is a fable. It's just a religious experience. Oh no, my friend. There's a reality to this. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ wants to save every single person in this room that is lost today. Not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God. What are we talking about? We're talking about a part of the righteousness of God right here. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? By the faith of Jesus Christ. What do you mean? So part of God's righteousness is God, the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Let me read it to you. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all. That word all in your Bible means all. No matter if you put it in Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, all means all. So that means there's people out there today that God wants to give that to. He has not excluded anybody in this church. Look what it says here. He says that upon all and unto all them that believe, for there is no difference. The faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Those who believe, the saving faith of Jesus Christ is given to all and upon all. Upon in your King James Bible is has the reference to rest upon or to have a dependence upon. So salvation is dependent on who? Me? Salvation is dependent on Jesus Christ. He gives the saving faith. It's His salvation. It was never my salvation. If it was my salvation, then why did I need to get saved if I already had it? Does that make sense? You're looking at me puzzled. Was it my salvation? If it was already my salvation, then why did Jesus Christ have to die to give me salvation? Wasn't my salvation. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It's His salvation to give to who He will. Who does He want to give it to? The whole world. He loves the world. It's His to give it to who He will. He wills that every person have that salvation. Okay? It's the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. Okay? To believe in your King James Bible is to be fully persuaded that what is contained in this Bible is the truth. The Holy Ghost, as we see in John 14:26, is the persuader. He's the one who persuades men to believe the truth that is contained in this Bible. What purpose is He doing persuading people? To bring them unto Himself. He says, I draw all men unto Myself. Well, how is a man going to know to come to Him unless they start hearing the Word? How can they believe? How can they believe without the Holy Ghost persuading them that they can believe what's in this Bible? How can they believe, the Bible says, unless there's a persuader out there telling them they can believe in that? Amen. Something that's going to convince them outside of their self to believe in that Bible. It just wasn't an automatic thing for me, Stephen. Oh, I believe the Bible. Oh, no. Sitting in that pew right there behind Dustin for 4 years, God persuaded me. The Holy Ghost taught me, and He dealt with me, and He brought me under conviction that I could believe everything in this Bible to be exactly what it says. He's the Holy Ghost is the persuader. As it says in John 14:26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. I always hear people all the time say, well, they just get done reading that, get up and go, you see there, the Holy Spirit. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Ghost. The confusion through the Bible all the time. I hear people constantly always saying, you know, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. And then they'll get up and they'll say, well, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's not what your Bible says. You're quoting the NIV.
That's right.
You're quoting commentaries because your Bible said Holy Ghost, not Holy Spirit. Yeah. Keep it in its context where it needs to be. It's a big confusion that's going on. Look at it says here. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, and He shall teach you all things, and bring all things into remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we see that the work of the Holy Ghost is to persuade one to believe the things that are written in the Bible. Because the Bible goes against everything we are in our sin nature. Do you realize that the very book that you're holding in your hand goes against everything that you are? So if it goes against everything you are, it's going to take something outside of yourself to convince you that this is truth. Because everything inside of you wants to tell you it's not truth. That's your sin nature. The devil wants to keep you just as far away from God as he can. You see, Jesus Christ is trying to win souls to eternity in heaven with Him. And the devil's trying to win souls to eternity in hell with Him. How are you going to know the difference? How are you going to know the difference without the Word of God? I can tell you this right now. When the Word of God, when the King James Bible is being preached and the Holy Ghost is moving through the pews, you won't be deceived. When you're sitting there reading your Bible, when you're reading that King James Bible and it's speaking to you, you're not being deceived. Otherwise, how will you ever tell the difference? I believe God puts a protection around a person when they're reading that Bible. Now look, that's not saying you can't interpret the Bible a different way and you make a mistake. That's not what I'm telling you. But many people say, well, I read this Bible about salvation. How do I know I'm not being deceived if my heart is so wicked? Because I believe God puts a protection around that Bible when you're reading it, that he will not allow deceit to come. No. If that's the case, you'll never, ever be able to tell whether it's the devil, yourself, or God. Never. God puts a protection around a person when they're reading this Bible that they might be able to see. Not a corruptible seed. God persuades men to believe the things in the Bible. Matthew 16, you don't have to turn there, 15 through 17. He saith unto them about what, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. My goodness, I know there's lost people in here. Let me tell you something. If I had one word that I could give you that would help you get saved, I would say it. But I'm here to tell you right now that God is the only one that can reveal to you what you need for salvation. There's proof of it right there. A human being at times may not ever be able to say one. Look, when I sat in that pew that night, Willis Shankles came up here and he started preaching. The night I got saved, I have no clue what he preached on. Zero. I can't tell you the message he preached on at all. You know why? Because the week before that, God had already gotten me in the birth canal. And I knew that night when I came to church, I was either getting saved or dead. I knew that with all my heart. I promise you, with everything that I am here, I sat in that pew and I just could not sit still. I could not pay attention to what was going on because I knew that I was either needed to get saved that night or I was dead. Why? Because God had already dealt with me. How many times, Ronnie, for 25 years did man try to deal with you? Until God showed you. Chelsea? Until God showed you. Until God. Hey, that's the proof right there. There's the proof that God had to show us. He just had to show me that I was a rebel against him. Man could never tell me that. Man never taught me that. There's many things man didn't teach me. They hold it against me now, but they didn't teach me that when I was a lost person. Yeah. My goodness, if I would have been taught some things as a lost person, maybe I wouldn't have done them. Just saying. Being fully persuaded. He says, but my Father which is in heaven. That's who showed it to him, Tim. God the Father wants to show you some things. He wants to deal with you. Okay? Galatians 3:2 says, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What is the hearing of faith? What do you mean the hearing of faith? What is he talking about? What faith is this? Well, let's get into it. Until this faith comes, which we're going to read about, everything was done through the laws and sacrifices. They put their faith into looking towards the coming of Jesus Christ. They did those things to try to keep themselves right with God. But here the Bible talks about a faith that's going to come. Amen. This is the faith that Abraham was looking towards, Pastor. This is what he was looking for. Look at this. Galatians 3. 23 through 25. Turn there. We just read here that he was in Galatians 3. This only would I learn. Have you received the Spirit by the works or the hearing of faith? What faith are they waiting to hear about? Well, let's go into that. Let's see what faith they're hearing about. In Galatians 3, 22, we're going to start in verse 23 through 25. It says, before faith came. So we see that this faith that I'm talking about right now wasn't always here. So before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which was should afterwards be revealed. So that there's a faith coming that still hasn't been revealed. Until what point? Okay, and let's get into that. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster. A schoolmaster, I'll give you a little illustration of that. It's like my wife is a 4th, 5th, 6th grade teacher. And what does she do? She's working with the 4th grader. She gets that 4th grader ready for 5th grade. Your law is a schoolmaster. The law gets you ready for Jesus Christ. The law gets you ready. It shows you what you are in God's eyes, and it brings you under that conviction, and it leads you to Jesus. So that law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So once you know that law, once you see yourself in God's eyes, then you're going to come unto Christ. Okay? That's what that schoolmaster is there. It says, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, you see that? That's the faith Abraham was looking for. But after faith has come, what do you mean? It wasn't here at this point? You see what he's teaching here? There's a faith that they were all looking for. Right now, we're going back to how they did things in the Old Testament. We're going back before the coming of Jesus Christ. That's why it says that they were kept underneath the law until faith came. And then when it says here, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. You see the phrase, before faith came? That is the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Notice it says that we are justified by faith. So let me ask you this one question. If it says we're justified by faith, whose faith are we justified by? Our own? Pastor, if we can be justified by our own faith, then we didn't need Jesus Christ. How can we be justified by our own faith? We're not justified by our own faith. That means there's another faith out there that they're talking about. My faith couldn't justify me. I couldn't stand in front of a judge, a human judge, and try to justify myself in front of them. I always got found guilty. How much more am I going to be able to do that to a holy God? Look what it says here. We're justified by the saving faith of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, or else we would have a faith works salvation. Galatians 3:22 says that, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Christ might be given to them who believe. What was just given to those who believe? The saving faith was given to them who believe. That's who Jesus Christ gives the saving faith to, those who believe. That person believes, they repent. Mark 1:15 talks about repenting and believing. They're hand in hand. They go together. A person who does not believe is not going to repent. A person who doesn't repent obviously doesn't believe. Right. You can't have one without the other. So here, Jesus Christ says he's given that saving faith to who? Those who believe. That's who he gives that saving faith to. Thank God I didn't have to drum up my own faith to get saved. Thank God that when I came to that point where it was just me and Jesus Christ face to face, that he was able, because I believed. He put that saving faith in me to never doubt again. You go ahead and try to hold your salvation with your faith. Go ahead and watch how many holes start coming in your salvation. Go ahead and see how many holes start coming in your assurance. Our faith breeds doubt. Jesus Christ's faith is the assurance. It's his faith given to repentant sinners who believe. The promise of forgiveness, salvation, eternal life. Because you see up there, it just said that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them who believe. Why did he say might be given to them? Because not all believe. Not all believe. Not all are going to believe. I'm just going to turn to this here. Look, there's a promise that God made. Numbers 23:19 says this, and most might know it. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man, which means he's not a human being in the sense that he was born through a woman and had a father, earthly father. Okay? He doesn't have an earthly mom and dad. He's not like us. That's what it means there, neither the Son of Man. So it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall not make it good? God said this, there's a promise by the faith of Jesus Christ that he'll give that saving faith to them who believe. It's a promise. Now either God's going to keep that promise, or he's a liar. Which one is it? Either he's going to do that to repentant sinners, or he's not. Which one is it?
I thank God, for, you know, after all the professions and all the times that I got dumped in the water and all that stuff happened to me for many years going on. Like Brother Ronnie said, not as many years, but quite a few, probably 10 or 12 years of going through that same thing. I finally thank God that he gave me his saving faith that I no longer have to doubt anymore. I don't have to battle with that nonsense anymore. If it was my faith, what did my faith do me? For all those years of thinking that I was saved and really being lost. What did my faith do me? What did it do for me? You see, Jesus Christ instilled that saving faith in me. Look what it says here. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the what? Faith of the Son of God. Well, isn't that amazing that he's put faith inside of me that I can live this life? What a wonderful thing to know that he gives that type of faith, that he gives a proportion or a measure of faith to a person. You see, he doesn't just put that saving faith in them and just leave them to themselves. But I'm just quite honest with you, if I didn't have some of the faith of Jesus Christ, I couldn't make it in this Christian life. It goes against everything that I am. He says that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. What? He loved me? And gave himself for me. It is the faith of the Son of God helping a believer live this Christian life. Romans 8:16 says this. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit. You see, there's a capital S spirit and there's a small S spirit. That small S spirit is us. Capital S Spirit is the Spirit of God. It says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know what's that saying, Tim? That's not my spirit that convinces me that I'm a child of God. My spirit doesn't convince me that I'm a saved, born-again person. It's the saving faith of Jesus Christ that convinces me that I'm a saved person. It's his spirit in me that witnesses to my spirit that I'm saved. Today, everybody's got that flipped around. They're letting their spirit bear witness with their spirit that they're born again, that they're a child of God. Look at Romans 3:3 says this, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? The faith of God, God has faith. Pastor preaches on it many times. God does have faith. What is the faith of God? Romans 3:22 through 26 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Christ unto all and upon all, who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God has set forth to be propitiation, and that is the place that we bring our sins. Jesus Christ is the place that we bring our sins to. Everybody gets that word, but I'm not going to go into that. But he is the place that we bring our sins to. Why? Through the faith in his blood. God had faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, that it will do exactly what he said it was going to do. He set it out there to save. He set it out there to cleanse the sinner. He set it out there to make everything whole and brand new. And that's the faith that God has had. That's part of his righteousness. So we see two parts of God's righteousness. The saving faith that he gives to lost people. And also the faith that he has in the blood of Jesus Christ. God has faith in the blood of Christ that it's going to do exactly what he set it out to do. Okay? And look what it says here in Philippians 3, 8, 9. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. My righteousness didn't come through my faith. My righteousness came through my faith in Christ that was given to me. Jesus Christ gives that faith to repentant sinners. And I'm going to close with this. What is the saving faith of Jesus? That we won't go to hell. He paid the price. Psalm 16:10 says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will suffer thy holy one to see corruption. The same faith that raised Jesus from hell is the same faith given to us at salvation. The same faith that Jesus Christ would raise from the dead is the same faith put in us at salvation, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. The same faith that God has in the blood of Jesus Christ for justification and sanctification and the fulfillment of the law, Matthew 5, 17, is the same faith that is put into us at salvation for cleansing and forgiveness, Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and through 26. And I just want to give a little side note here. When a person is saved, that the faith of turns into faith in. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." Now our faith is called in. Now we have to live. He gives us that saving faith, and now we have faith that He's going to take care. He's going to do exactly what that Bible says, and that's going to help us to live our life. So no longer do I have to have the faith of Jesus Christ. He's already given that to me. But now I have faith in Jesus Christ to live this Christian life. I'm done.